The gospel reading this morning made me think about first steps. And then I actually thought literally of our first steps as when we were babies. And I think we've all seen how a baby begins to walk. First, they pull themselves up, maybe on the couch or on a coffee table. And then they kind of become coffee table surfers. They hold on and they go round and round the coffee table. And all the time smiling, you know, and just joy in their hearts that they're doing this. But then at some point, they take that first step. And you can see the parent nearby with arms stretched out saying, come on, you can do it. And the baby takes that first step, or maybe two. And all the smiles and the clapping that goes on because the baby had taken its first step. Now for the baby, it takes a lot of courage to do that first step. And it takes trust in their parent, that the parent will be there for them. And I bet all of us here today remember the first step on the moon. We can say and tell others where we were at that time. I remember going outside. It was probably 12 o'clock at night and looking up and down the street and all the lights were on in all the houses. Everyone was awake. Everyone was a proud American and took great pride in all that we had accomplished. For the astronauts, it took a lot of courage and also a lot of trust in all the engineers that made it possible and in their training and their preparations. Now today, my husband who is here today, I know you can't see him, we've been married 45 years today. We met each other and we both were divorced. And when we married, I had a 17-month-old daughter, and he had two sons that were 4 and 6. It took courage and trust. Courage to try again, to take that step again. Trust in each other that it would work. And we had two more children, two more daughters. And this next week, our 18th grandchild is due to be born. And we will have 11 granddaughters and 7 grandsons. A little over 27 years ago, I became a priest. But before that, I was a school teacher and a mother of 5. And the mother of 5 part took a long time. But then God decided that I should become a priest. And I thought to myself, you have to be kidding me. You're making a mistake, God. And it took a long time for me to accept that call. I would come up with some kind of an excuse like, you know, I get nervous to stand in front of people and talk. Or, you know, I'm not the best reader because I'm dyslexic. And every time I would come up with an excuse, I would hear the words in my head, you can do that. And then when I would say to God and myself, well, you know, I have been an Episcopalian all my life, but, you know, I don't know that much of Bible, and I don't know this, and I don't know that. And then the voice would say, you can learn it. So I gave up. I took that first step. I was filled with fear and uncertainty, but I did it anyway. I had to trust that God knew what God was doing. There were a lot of hurdles. We farmed. We raised Angus cattle. There wasn't any way that I could go anyplace to get any kind of training. But I found out that 17 and a half miles from our home was a Quaker seminary. It's the only Quaker seminary in the world. And so that's where I went. So oftentimes I'll say that I'm an Episcopalian with a Quaker influence. I had to think of how we were going to pay for it, you know, and the church helped. I got scholarships from the college that I didn't even apply for. And the Episcopal Church, if you've ever been on the vestry, you're supposed to give so much money to seminaries every year. And you can pick out the seminary you want to go, an Episcopal seminary. Well, in our deanery, people knew what I was doing. And so some of the small churches, instead of sending it to the Episcopal Church, they sent it to me. They said, we decided that the money we were going to give, we were going to give to you. It was amazing. It took 4 years, now three. And it took a husband who was very supportive for me during those 4 years. Because a lot of times we didn't have a computer, and there weren't many computers around, and I had to write papers at school and wasn't home for dinner, and he had to take the children, you know, to activities. So I also appreciate all that he did. And when it was done, after 4 years, I owed nobody any money. And for me, all that falling into place was a miracle. Now, in today's gospel, we also hear a story about courage and trust in Jesus. The disciples were up all night long. The wind was against them. It says their boat was being battered. And at first, the disciples were afraid when they saw Jesus coming, walking towards them in the water. They thought he was a ghost. But Jesus said these words, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." I don't know how many times in the Bible, it's probably written someplace, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." But he says that over and over again. And he said it to the disciples that day. But he also says it to us. "Don't be afraid. I'm here." Peter wanted to go to Jesus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus. It was a step of courage, a step of faith, and trust in Jesus. But the wind frightened him and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Just as a parent of a child taking its first steps would reach out and catch their falling child. As frightened as Peter must have been stepping on the water, he trusted and he did it. Just as the child takes its first step, just as there was the first step on the moon, the first step in a new marriage, a first step walking towards Jesus, and a first step on your mission to serve God's kingdom. Have you ever felt like you were in a battered boat and the wind was against you and left far from shore? Felt lost or overwhelmed? Well, I bet you have. It's a human experience. And we can relate to the disciples in the boat. Perhaps you felt that way through a divorce, or a death of a loved one, a loss of a job, an illness that has taken so much from you and you can't do the things that you used to do. Or perhaps it's sheer loneliness. And sometimes now during this pandemic, there's a lot of people that felt very lonely. But even young people, you know, can feel overwhelmed and lost. Think about a time that perhaps you were in school and you had a bunch of papers that were all due. And you also had to prepare for your exams. I can remember coming home from school between semesters. And I always got sick because I was so exhausted and had been overwhelmed. I got through it all. But it takes a lot out of you. Or perhaps it could be that the home isn't the best situation. But whatever the difficult times are, Jesus is there for us. Just as Jesus was there for the disciples in the boat, just as Jesus was there to extend his arm to Peter when he began to sink. When we need help with the rough seas of life, Jesus extends his hand to catch us. And all we have to do is grab it. Jesus calms the winds in our lives. Now, Jesus never said life would be easy, but he said he would always be with us. And I believe when Jesus, or when we cry, Jesus is with us. I had a friend a number of years that called me to tell me her husband had died. He just literally dropped dead in front of her from a heart attack. And we talked a long time, and she cried and I cried. And I got off the phone, I was telling Mark, I said, you know, I never ever met that man. I said, but she was in so much pain, and I could feel her pain, and I could feel her loss. And I think that's how Jesus is when we have pain and loss, that he feels it and cries with us, because he loves us more than we can even imagine. Jesus wants us to come to him when we're in pain or trouble or in distress or confused or with whatever is keeping us from being whole. The invitation Jesus extended to Peter to come is an invitation to us as well. Come and take the first step towards me. Come. And I will catch you if you fall. Come, and I will make your burdens light. Come, and take your place in my kingdom. Come, and see what you can become. Come, and be my child. Come, and have eternal life. Come, and share in the heavenly banquet that I have prepared for you, just for you. Amen.